Good afternoon, CHRY. This is Omei Salma Rahamtullah, and I'm joined right now by Diane Marie Bridge, who is the Interim Artistic Director at Obsidian Theater and is also the curator for an upcoming reading series called Canonize This. Canonize This is a Canadian reading series that will highlight Canada's most influential Black playwrights who will be reading from their works. Hello, Diane.
Hello, good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm very excited about this reading series coming up.
And it is taking place this week, October 21st to 23rd, at the Berkeley Street Theatre. And to get this conversation going, Diane, can you tell us about your inspiration to canonize this? Why was it important to vision this kind of series?
I started at the Obsidian Theatre Company as the intern artistic director, essentially to learn how to become more proficient as an artistic director and running a theatre company. I came from 4 years as the membership manager at the Playwrights Guild of Canada, so a lot of the work I was doing at Playwrights Guild was in support of playwrights, creators' rights, information on copyright and how to get people to the point of having a living wage as a writer and as a creative producer. So when I got to Obsidian Theater, because the theater company is specifically targeted to produce the works of Black playwrights, we just found that the amount of writing that was going on was much less profiled than mainstream or dominant theater. And I just decided to take a look at who was out there, who was writing, who had been writing for the last 30 years, where are they, why are they not being produced, what happens after they're produced. In Canada, most theaters are funded federally, provincially, and municipally, and it's really rare that a play will have more than, say, two or three productions, and that's if it does really well. So when you get to the theater companies that are specialized, either feminist theater or theater for Black playwrights or Asian Canadian playwrights, those productions get even less profile. So what I wanted to do was put together a series that celebrated these people and their work and acknowledged that it went back much farther than just, you know, the last 10 years where it seems to be in vogue, that people were actually writing, in their home countries, in the West Indies and in Africa and wherever they came from, and brought that craft here, that the traditions are different than Western theater. And what I also wanted to do was provide a professional development series in support of careers rights. People tend to not get enough practice and access to information once they leave theater school. So we're doing an afternoon workshop series at the Harlem Restaurant that will feature information like three-act structure, how to write a proper three-act structured play, which is a very Western style, but people tend to miss that step, you know. And we will also address other kinds of structure, dub theater structure, and we'll talk a little bit more about them. But in the session, we will focus specifically on the three-act structure. There's also a session on copyright legislation and what's going on right now, why artists and creators should be concerned, the idea that people are rights holders and that intellectual property is something that we really need to put on the forefront of our lives as creators is a really important issue for me. There's also a marketing workshop in the afternoon as well. So just giving people the opportunity to look at promote their work and themselves in a different perspective, in a different way, other than, you know, just standing on a street corner and handing out your flyers, how to utilize the information that you have and the community that you have to get the word out about your work. And then there's also a session on story generation and how to approach writing from a different angle other than just going and sitting down at your desk and writing. Erica Batdorf is leading that session, and she comes from a visual arts and dance background and clown background, so she approaches her work much differently. The evening reading series, though, really was just focused on celebrating people and celebrating their work.
And so we've talked a bit about the professional development series, but I think we should get more into the reading series. So if we could start off by you telling us who will be reading.
We actually have three evenings. And the first evening, we I wanted to make a special tribute to playwright Lorena Gale. She actually passed away earlier this year. She passed away in the spring. And her, especially her play Angelique, which was one of the first plays that I saw at the Afro-Canadian Playwrights Festival a few years ago, was just absolutely, just opened up a whole history that I had no idea about. It was based on Angelique, who was charged with burning down old Montreal. So the evening was inspired by her. On that first evening, we'll have Darren Anthony reading, Sarah Michelle Brown, who wrote First Hand Woman, which was a runaway hit at this year's Fringe Festival. Michael Miller will also be reading. He was one of the founding members of Obsidian Theatre, and he's reading from his play To Be King, which was produced, I believe, about 10 years ago. Marcia Johnson will also be reading. On the second evening, we have George Boyd, Nicole Brooks, who's written an amazing piece, which is called Obia Opera. So it's, she's actually melding this art, this, she's creating a new art form. So acoustic, very rooted in Obia Trans Opera. It's just, what I've seen of it so far is beautiful. Joan Kivanda will be reading. Jenny Laguerre will be reading. And Sharon Lewis, who wrote Sisters with Maxine Bailey. And on the third evening, which is Friday, October the 23rd, we have Debbie Young in East Africa reading from her play. I believe she's going to be reading from Bennu and Blood Clot. Audrey Zina Mandiela, who is one of the founders of Dub Theater, and she will be reading from Dark Diaspora in Dub. We also have Motion, who is an emerging playwright, but she's very well known as a spoken word artist. Joseph Jomopierre will be reading, and Donna Michelle St. Bernard as well.
Diane, aren't you reading in this series?
I am reading in this series. I am reading on Wednesday.
And I wanted to talk a bit about how it seems that there's more women in the reading series, but I guess in the arts in general, more women are coming, you know, coming to express themselves through the arts. And if you could talk a bit about that.
This has always been, and especially theater, has always been women heavy. And I think it's ironic just simply because there have been a number of studies done in the last, say, 5 years. One that the Playwrights Guild and Knightwood Theater were involved with was a study of just the equity balance of theater, of women in Canadian theaters. And yeah, we have a long way to go as far as that is concerned. So when I put out the call for scripts for this reading series, there was a disproportionate amount of women to men. The ratio, I would say, honestly, like 80-20. And I'm not sure what that's about. Most of the men who are in this series are either men who have been writing for decades, in the case of George Boyd and Michael Miller, and then you skip to the people who are just getting notoriety, like Joseph Jomopierre and Darren Anthony. And the question to this day is still, what happens to those people who, you know, have been around, who've been writing for the last 5 to 10 to 15 years? Where are they? Why aren't they a part of this series? And I don't know if it's just a byproduct of the industry, you know, black men, there are very few of them even on stage. A lot of them get more work in film and television. And what is it about theater in Canada that doesn't support the writers? I'm sure that there are people writing, but if there's no support for them, if you can't make a living, or if the work is just not as fulfilling, then you leave. So that's work we have to do.
And you had mentioned in the beginning that the reason that you put out this series was to, you know, take us an inventory of the black playwrights in this country. And this might be a bit of a cliche question, but where do you see black Canadian playwrights, black Canadian plays in the next, like, 5, 10 years?
I think, especially with the plays that are a little bit older, and I think this is across the board with people who are first or second generation, a lot of the plays were about history and about being the outsider, being the other. And there was always this theme of explaining your situation and making your voice heard to the other. What I'm seeing now with some of the newer playwrights is that people have kind of decided or just gotten tired of doing that. If you're constantly always explaining, hear me, listen to me, you finally realize that you're actually not pursuing the things that you want to pursue, that you've been kind of sidetracked. So I'm finding a lot of the newer playwrights are actually just writing about things that are important to them, and things that they want to explore, and are allowing themselves that freedom and that creativity a little bit more. One case is Jenny Laguerre, who is a very good friend of mine. She is from Ottawa. She's Franco-Ontarian, background Asian. So she right there speaks three languages, and her play actually mixes all those three languages in such a beautiful way. And her play is about going back to Haiti and having to bury a father that she didn't know, or it's about these two sisters going back to Haiti and having to bury a father that they didn't know, and all the rituals and culturally specific things that go along with that. And as two Canadian girls, you know, just the culture shock. One sister is very much about, you know, going to the beach and partying and woo, and the other is very somber and wants to honor her family. And within that, there was no reference of having to explain. She didn't have to explain when she switched in and out of Creole or in and out of French, and just the effortlessness that which she switched between those things, and the freedom that she took with it without having to explain it and without having to justify it, was something that I think is a really good example of how we decided to start telling our own stories from and use authentic voices, as opposed to using a mediated voice that's about explaining yourself to someone else.
And so it seems, of course, that this series, Canonize This, is really important, and in terms a milestone, a very important gathering of people, like just to look at the variety of artists that are going to be there, playwrights that are going to be there, is incredibly amazing. And so it's definitely a good opportunity if someone is interested in Black Canadian plays, interested in seeing what's out there. Like, so there won't be stage, it's going to be a reading series, but it's an important way to kind of take stock of what's going on in this country at this point in time as well.
Absolutely. And I think, too, one thing that that I would love to see is that a cross-section of the theater community come out. This is not a series specifically and only for Black writers. This is for everyone. You know, we're all on the same path and have the same trajectory and have pretty much the same goals. It's about finding out who's in the community. I mean, the arts are so underfunded and the theater community is so small within Canada that you have to just get to know everyone and really find out who has the skill sets that you could use. If, you know, when I'm producing a play, the first thing I think about is, who are the people that I know that I can contact right away? Do I need a dramaturg? Who's that person? Do I need a director? Do I need a designer? And I automatically think of the people that I know. I think I'm fortunate enough that because I was in an art service organization beforehand, I really have a broad spectrum of people that I can call on. But people tend to stick when they're producers, they tend to stick to one or two theater companies that they go to all the time. They know all those people. And I think this would be a really great series to just come and network and meet people and really find out who's doing what and hear some of their work. There are people here whose work I personally haven't even heard. I've read it, but I haven't heard it, and I'm really excited to do that. Like George Boyd is coming in, he writes about, all his stories are based in Halifax, so I'm really excited to actually just hear his voice. I think it's open to everyone, and especially the professional development series. All that information is really for anyone who wants to be a writer and sustain a living in the arts community.
And I think, if I may interject here, what is really important for me and what I guess you kind of alluded to is that we see plays being produced, right? We see the production value. We see the actors. But I think it's really special to be able to see the people who are writing it. Like, you know, it comes from their minds, comes from their creativity, and to see them on stage actually reading from this work that they created. So you might have even seen the play of some of these plays that are going to be read, but it'll be totally a different perspective in terms of just that one piece.
Mm-hmm. And to have that writer there who is open for conversation, who can explain, you know, what the impetus was to write the play and what are the important elements of life for this person. I know someone like Debbie Young, her newest play, Bennu, that she was workshopping at Summerworks earlier this summer, is based in part by her own recent birth of her latest son, Phoenix, and the events of some other women, other friends that she knows. And this place is being crafted now. It's beautiful. And she's still working on it. But just for people to get that bit of history, that it's coming from somewhere genuine, and for people to just acknowledge that a lot of these works have been worked on for 2, 3, 4 years. You might not actually recognize that when you go to see a piece of theater. You think, oh, it's an hour and a half of my time. And just to acknowledge the work that goes into it and the people who are actually, you know, bringing it to life and sitting there and hashing it out, and beyond the playwright, the creative team that goes in, that helps to support the idea. I think it's theater is just a wonderful way of building community and history.
Great, Diane. If you could, before we let our listeners know again the schedule, what days, where is it going, where do they show up to get tickets, if they can get advance tickets, all that kind of logistical information, and of course the website where they can find out more information.
Okay, so all of this information is available on the Obsidian Theatre website, which is www.obsidian-theatre.com. And the lunch hour professional development sessions, you do need to register them for them because there's a limited amount of space. They are $10, and that includes lunch and a ticket to the evening reading series. You can call the Obsidian office at 416-463-8444 for tickets, or you can show up on the day and just pay at the door. But we would really like to know how many people are showing up. The evening reading series, you can buy tickets as well.
Oh, sorry, before we get to that, the professional development, where?
At the Harlem restaurant. So that is just at the church and Adelaide, I believe. No, church in Richmond. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Thank you. The Harlem restaurant. And will be from 1 p.m. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday until 3 p.m. So they're really short. You get fed, meet some really great people, and make some really great professional contacts as well. If you are a writer, thinking of becoming a writer, a creative person who maybe doesn't necessarily write but creates physically, definitely for you. The evening reading series will be happening at the Berkeley Street Theater. So for those people who know, it's the Cannes Stage Theater upstairs, and that's 26 Berkeley Street. And the evenings start at 8 p.m. and will run about an hour and a half. So they're really, really great networking opportunities and just chances to just see what's in the community and who's writing out there. And again, all the information and the registration packages are available at www.obsidian-theatre.com.
Diane, thank you very much for joining us today. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we leave?
You know what? I'm really excited about this, and I hope that that's come through in this interview. I'm really excited about some of these works. There's some beautiful, beautiful writing out there. So come on out and check us out.
Thank you very much. That was Diane Marie Bridge, who's the curator of an upcoming reading series called Canonize This, which is taking place from October 21st to 23rd at the Berkeley Street Theater. For more information, you can call 416-463-8444 or visit obsidian-theater.com. This is Omeh Salma Rahimtullah for CHRY. Have a great afternoon.